Don Alan Shao, who, according to his diary entries and notes, was trying to convert one of the world's last remaining isolated tribes unexposed to modern civilization, was apparently killed by members of that tribe. CNN reports the isolationist tribe is on a tiny remote island in the Bay of Bengal. Fishermen say they saw members of the tribe dragging the missionary's body on the ground and burying it. Chow had returned to the island after earlier being shot at with an arrow. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn Root, the conservative warrior. My show War Now airs every day right here on USA Radio from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern. I'm also the star of the Wayne Allyn Root Show on Newsmax TV, reaching over 50 million homes. But my favorite role is speaker extraordinaire. I was opening speaker at many Donald Trump for President events. I speak at Republican, conservative, and college GOP events, and I'm available to be the star at your next event. Contact me to arrange for a Wayne Root keynote speech. Call toll-free 888-444-ROOT. That's 888-444-ROOT. Or email wayneroot@gmail.com.
The New Orleans Saints has a 10-game win streak after beating the Atlanta Falcons 31-17. Saints coach Sean Payton on the win.
Proud of how our guys played. Obviously, the turnovers were significant, the rushing numbers, all the things that keep you from winning, I felt were on display tonight. Proud of our defense, thought we ran the ball well, and it's a good win.
The Saints limited the Falcons to just 26 yards rushing. The Dallas Cowboys have moved into a first-place tie with Washington in the NFC East by outlasting the Redskins 31-23. Amari Cooper had touchdown catches of 90 and 40 yards in the third quarter before finishing with 8 receptions for 180 yards. Quarterback Dak Prescott on Cooper's performance.
Tonight just speaks on the fact that I've been saying this whole, how he's made this transition easy. The elite player he is, he gets space. He creates space himself, just the route running he has. And then as you saw tonight, he did that and then went and got a lot of yards after catch. And so big-time receivers does.
Prescott was 22 of 31 for 289 yards. Chicago starting off Turkey Day football with a 23-16 win over Detroit. Bears safety Eddie Jackson returned an interception 41 yards for a touchdown to seal the win.
Especially a division win, man, it's big. You know, our family's at home watching, so we knew, you know, the whole city of Chicago's behind us, and we try to turn this thing around. So for us to get this win on the road and on Thanksgiving, man, it's just a lot to be thankful for right now, and we just want to continue to build off of it.
The Lions reached the Bears 11 in the final minute, but Kyle Fuller clinched Chicago's fifth straight victory by picking off Matthew Stafford in the end zone. For USA Radio News, I'm Rick Vincent.
Hello, my name is Robert Burns. My website is bobburnspeaks.com, and I'm inviting you to listen to my show at 1 o'clock on Friday afternoons on Hutton Chamber Radio, entitled Awaken to Your Purpose. How many people walk through life awake and knowing why they were incarnated here in this beautiful planet? Not a lot of people do. I was in my late 40s by the time I found out, but now I know. So listen to the show, and maybe that'll promote you to awaken to your purpose. And thank you so much.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Greetings, couch potatoes across the country, around the world, on the radio and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies. On today's show, I'm going to be talking about Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald, Instant Family, Widows, Outlaw King, and Boy Erased. I'm also going to be talking about some news, the trailer park, and the home cinema roundup featuring the Pixar Short Film Collection, Volume 3. But first, if you want to get in touch with me, you can email me at fatguys@fatguysatthemovies.com. You can leave me a voicemail at 740-205-6456. That's 740-205-6456. You can find me on the internet at fatguysatthemovies.com or facebook.com/fatguysatthemovies. And if you want to reach out to me on Twitter, I'm at twitter.com/KevinCarr.
Good evening. I'm Ron Burgundy, and this is what's happening in your world tonight.
The big piece of news that sort of rocked the entertainment industry this week has been the death of Stan Lee, who is the innovative Marvel editor and writer and creator who gave us all the characters like Spider-Man and Incredible Hulk and Fantastic Four and the entire group of Marvel superheroes. And he built that up in the 60s. And, of course, he went on to become sort of this media legend. He passed away this week at age 95, which is a great run. I mean, it's not like he disappeared from public life for the last 10 years. He made appearances all the time, and he got interviewed, and, of course, he's best known for doing all these cameos in the Marvel movies, and that's how he kind of really raised his appearance and stature among just the average person, because even though there's a lot of people out there who've never put their hands on a Marvel comic book, everybody will recognize him from his cameos and everything from X-Men to Spider-Man. And he's in almost every single Marvel movie that's ever come out, and that's been kind of a fun thing, whether it was done by Marvel Studios, which is owned by Disney now, or whether it was done by Fox, or whether it was done by Sony. He showed up at him. I think one of his first cameos was actually in The Trial of the Incredible Hulk, where he played a juror. And that was, I think, early 90s. So he was still kind of an obscure person at that point. But he's become a legend, and everybody knows who Stan Lee is. And that's actually kind of amazing, considering how much he's done over the course of his life. He started at Marvel, and he brought Marvel from a relatively small comic company and built it into this powerhouse. People knew who Spider-Man was, like, in the 70s and the 80s. Of course, you had the Incredible Hulk TV show that raised that stature, and Spider-Man was in everything from Electric Company to Halloween costumes, and then had his own TV movies made of him. So people were aware of who the characters were. But he was still just the guy who edited the comics. Now, people who read the comics knew who he was. I grew up in a time where comics were relatively inexpensive. I mean, they were like 25 cents, 40 cents, 50 cents when I was a kid growing up. And I mean, now a single issue is going to be several bucks. But I remember the time, even when I was in high school, where you could get a standard issue for less than a dollar. But even then, there were so many titles out there, I personally could only afford to choose a universe. I chose DC because I was a Superman and Batman guy. And I had a lot of respect for Marvel, but I just never read it. Because if you're going to read one Marvel comic, you had to read all of them or a good chunk of them. And that's the way it was with Superman. I read everything with Superman and Batman in DC, and then I'd read like Green Lantern and then Flash. And then you start picking up other titles, and before you know it, you're reading twice as many comics, and that's expensive. I couldn't afford that as a kid, so I stuck to DC. But I knew who Stan Lee was. Even then, I knew about Stan's Soapbox, which was his monthly column at the end of the comics, which was inspirational, and he talked directly to the readers. And I know he did so much work. He didn't single-handedly run the comics, but he spearheaded it. And it was a very collaborative effort, and I know that there were some grumblings over the years as to who created what, but as he got into his later years, it was very clear of saying, look, this was a collaborative effort. He would sketch out ideas in terms of what's going to happen on the page, and then the artist would take over. And so his hand and his feeling and his touch was seen in so many of different books, and that allowed him to spearhead multiple titles at once. So that was a lot of the work that he did in his 40s back, 50 years ago. And now he has become a legend. And even though he really hasn't worked in the Marvel comics for years, and there were lawsuits, and he's kind of done his own thing, he still has that legacy of being the guy behind these. And Marvel has always been forever tied to Stan Lee. And that's a legacy that he leaves. And this is the real point of what he did and the impact he had in creating these characters. He didn't just make super characters in fantasy. He made characters that had real problems. I mean, like the Fantastic Four, which is one of the first things he created, it was a family living together. It's people living with each other and dealing with each other's problems and learning how to, Johnny Storm and the Thing, Ben, constantly fought. And that's kind of part of his deal. They also didn't have secret identities, which is kind of odd for some characters. I mean, he kind of had his own way of doing the comics. It wasn't just Batman or Superman putting on glasses or pretending to be a billionaire playboy. He had real people who were oftentimes overcoming problems that they had, but their problems were also part of their power. Daredevil was blind, but that leaned into his power. Tony Stark had a weak heart, but that allowed him to build the Iron Man costume and character. Real problems, real people in a fantastic setting. And Stan Lee was somebody who lived his catchphrase of Excelsior, which is ever upward, always achieving, and that's something he always did up until the day he died. So we will miss you, Stan Lee. Excelsior. You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. That sound means it's time to roll into the trailer park. One of the award films that I'm kind of looking forward to that's kind of bubbling under the surface, it's coming out at the end of December for limited release, is Stan and Ollie. And it's about Stan Laurel and Oliver Hardy and their relationship.
Pretty empty last night.
I guess people just don't want to see Laurel and Hardy anymore.
Has he been pushing you a little too hard, babe?
You know, Stan.
You could have said goodbye, Oliver, a long time ago.
We had a good thing going, but you had this big chip on your shoulder because I did a picture with someone else.
I couldn't sleep for days when they told me what you did. Got lucky because you met me.
Lucky to spend my life with a man who hides behind his typewriter?
I have always been a huge fan of Laurel and Hardy. I maybe as much as the Three Stooges, if not more. I love the Three Stooges, but there was something special about Laurel and Hardy that really captured my imagination. I remember as a kid going up and visiting my grandparents over Christmas and Thanksgiving, and they lived in Cleveland, and so we'd watch, you know, the Cleveland shows and the morning shows like Superhost or whatever. They'd always play a Laurel and Hardy short or something like that. That was always something that I grew up watching, even in the 70s, even though those stories were like 40 years old sometimes. And I have a real affinity towards them. I remember we just recently, my family, we had to move a piano out of my mom's house to our place. And after we finally got it into our place, I downloaded and showed my kids The Music Box, the famous episode of them moving the piano. And it was hilarious because we were doing essentially, we weren't as ridiculous as Laurel and Hardy, but it really was a funny thing to watch. Move a piano and then watch The Music Box, let me tell you. So I'm looking forward to Stan and Ollie. I'm really curious to see what they do. And in terms of delving into the characters that people don't know in the behind the scenes. The next one I want to talk about really quickly is Detective Pikachu, which opens on May 10th.
Did you just talk?
Whoa. Did you just understand me?
Oh my God, you can understand me!
Stop!
I've been so lonely!
They try to talk to me all the time. All they hear is Pika Pika.
You can hear him, right?
Pika Pika!
Yeah, Pika Pika Pika. He's adorable.
You're adorable. They can't understand me, kid.
Can no one else hear him?
I don't need a Pokemon, period.
Then what about a world-class detective? Because if you want to find your pops, I'm your best bet.
Here's a great example of a movie that lives completely on nostalgia, and it is the nostalgia for the people who poo-poo the nostalgia. There's all these people who are in their like late 20s and early 30s who are like, oh, this Star Wars is just about nostalgia. You guys are stupid. Oh my God, Pikachu, that's my childhood! And that's basically what you're seeing happen. Nostalgia is okay, people. It's okay to live on a nostalgia, and Detective Pikachu looks like it's definitely going into there. It actually looks kind of funny. It looks like I'm kind of looking forward to like a photorealistic CGI Pokemon movie that isn't just a throwaway cartoon. Ryan Reynolds as Pikachu? I still am not quite sold, but we'll see. Come May 10th. That's it for this segment. I need to go to a break. When I come back, I'm going to be talking about Instant Family and Widows.
Spider-Man, Spider-Man, does whatever a spider can. Spins a web.
She seems happier. Her fur is so much shinier, silkier, softer. She has really mellowed a lot.
Sheba is 105 lean pounds of shiny, smooth, happy dog. Our life.
The shedding has stopped. The itching has stopped.
Since 2001, we've helped more than 250,000 dogs get over their nutritional deficiency miseries.
And saved our customers bazillions in vet bills.
Everything we tried failed except the Dynavite.
Come to Dynavite for help.
DINOVITE.com.
If you want the dog to be healthy, you got to feed it something healthy.
The omega-3 fatty acids.
Flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa.
The digestive enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
Dynavite is nutrition.
Dynavite for life.
Don't let your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy.
Come to Dynavite for help.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
DINOVITE.com.
Hey, I'm Brant. So there's this guy named Jordan. He's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. And he goes to the doctor, true story, he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage 4. And here's the thing. He had switched earlier from medical insurance to Medishare, where Christians share each other's medical bills. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this actually going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. So if you want to find out more, here is a number for you. 855-90-BIBLE. That's 855-90-BIBLE.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heide & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heide & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heide & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. Let's jump into the movie reviews and start off with Instant Family. A middle-aged couple decide to become foster parents to three troubled siblings.
Lizzie comes with two younger siblings.
Three kids? Too much.
Oh my God.
They're adorable.
Why would you show us that? That's wrong.
Here we are.
Make yourself at home because you are at home.
But I love this. Ow!
Just stay there until the fire department comes, okay?
You're just another white lady who wants to adopt charity orphans to make you feel good about yourself. Pretend, Mom!
This stuff takes time. Lizzie had to parent Juan and Lita all by herself.
This is never going to be easy.
But with some structure and love, you could make your house a home.
This film is directed by Sean Anders, who is most recently best known for doing films like Daddy's Home and Daddy's Home 2. Daddy's Home 2 came out last Christmas, and two Christmases before that in 2015... you had Daddy's Home. Now, those are both surprise hits. And what's funny about those movies is they both of them flew in under the Star Wars release. They both came in right around the same time. And they lost a lot of their thunder to Star Wars. But they were actually really big hits. And much to the consternation of some grumpy critics who don't like comedies, they did very, very well. And, of course, made a sequel. And Sean Anders is essentially a guy who does screwball comedies. He did the movie, I think he did Horrible Bosses, too. I find his stuff pretty funny. You know, he's not awful, but he's also not he's not the best comedic director I've ever seen. Now, it's interesting with Instant Family, when you watch the trailer or you look at the pitch, you're like, oh, this is just another stupid screwball family comedy. And in a way it is. Let's not mince words. There's parts of it in like the first 20 minutes of the movie, does have me rolling my eyes a couple times because it is really laying it on thick. And look, Rose Byrne's hilarious, and she's, I think, underutilized by Hollywood in a lot of ways. But she is just sort of playing that stock character that we've seen as them. Oh, I want to be a mom, but I also want to have my freedom. You know, everything that anybody who's considering having kids or adopting is going through. And this could have completely devolved into a very typical antic after antic where it's meant to be bigger than life or overly silly and overly contrived scenes. You got overly contrived scenes in both Daddy's Home movies. But here's the difference with Instant Family. Sean Anders, the director and writer of this, himself adopted three foster kids. He brought them in, and he and his wife decided to get the teenager, the older kids, not the... From what I understand, I'm not a foster parent, but as I understand it, I would imagine that it's much more different adopting like a baby or a toddler and adopting a teenager who's had most of their life, had some, you know, ups and downs and ins and outs. And that's certainly seems like a challenge. Now I have my own kids and I'm in my pushing into my late 40s. So the chance of me adopting or even wanting any more kids at this point is pretty slim, but I can appreciate if you don't have kids and you're having trouble conceiving, I can appreciate the interest in going into this. What makes this movie different is because Anders has gone through the foster parent system, he gives at least what appears to be a relatively realistic and optimistic, but not overly optimistic view of what goes on. There's a lot of realism here, and there's a lot of heart to it. And it seems to me like Anders doesn't want to just make it goofy and silly. He also wants to show a reality of the foster care system where it's an overburdened system. And the kids in there, through no fault of their own, are sometimes in really awful situations. And they're probably coming from really awful situations. And so some of the kids, especially the teenagers, either that have become foster kids when they're teenagers or have lived in the system for many, many years and are just waiting to age out, it's a tough battle, and they're oftentimes coming with a lot of baggage. And there's a lot of love that can be had there, but it takes, and they say it in the movie, it takes a special person to do it. What I found fascinating about this is, I've been racking my brains trying to find a movie that gives this balanced of a look at the foster care system. Because usually it's like in a sitcom, it's used as a backstory. I was a foster kid, and that's why I don't trust you. Or the kid at school is struggling, and he's got a bully who's in the foster care system. I remember in the 80s, there was this kid, and he was an actor, and he was like, I don't know, 10 or 11, and he got curly black hair, and he showed up in every single sitcom as a foster kid. And then you had TV shows like Different Strokes, and they would do stuff where they dealt with adoption and blended families and foster care, but Different Strokes was a little bit saccharine, and it didn't really show the reality of it. Or you had Punky Brewster, but that one was also, he lived in this fantasy world. It's not really looked at as a realistic, pragmatic system where the people are really trying to help, but they just have so many kids that they can't place, and there's only so many parents. And this movie actually does that. Its heart's completely in the right place, even if the jokes don't always land, and even if the jokes are a little bit goofy at times. This movie certainly is trying and succeeding in doing some stuff that I've never seen done before, and its heart's what made me like it. That won me over. It won me over out of just being some goofy, wacky sitcom-type movie. So I'm going to have to say Instant Family surprised me, and I'm going to say it's worth seeing, especially if you have any sort of interest or care or connections to the foster system. So I'm going to say it kind of rocks.
It kind of rocks.
You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. Let's continue on and talk about widows. After a shootout kills their criminal husbands, a group of widows band together to pull off the heist that had already been planned.
Something happened tonight, something bad. Mr. Mulligan, your family's been involved in Harry's life for many years. I need help.
I don't see what I can do.
Our husbands aren't coming back.
Toronto. My husband left me the plans for his next job. All I need is a crew to pull it off.
Why should we trust you anyway?
Because I'm the only one standing between you and a bullet in your head.
This is directed by Steve McQueen, who, of course, did 12 Years a Slave and Shame. And I was kind of looking forward to this movie. They didn't show it to me, and that happens a lot. And I talked about this. I railed about it a couple weeks ago. I don't know if this movie's falling in the realm of, like, Hunter Killer, which was another famously not screened movie. And I know they've screened Widows just to other audiences. But for whatever reason, this wasn't important. I think it's because it's coming under the shadow of The Crimes of Grindelwald. And I think this is a movie they're hoping for a slower burn through award season, not a big opening weekend. The irony of this is I'm getting mailers from the studio saying, for your consideration, this movie. And I'm like, that's great. You want to show it to me? And I'm certain that next week or sometime shortly after Thanksgiving, I'm going to get a screener for this. Fox is going to send me a disc. They're not having an actual screening, but they're actually going to probably find a way to show it to me. And like I said, I'll probably be able to watch it without even going to the theater in the next week or so. So I was like, why should I even bother? If they're not going to bother to show this to me early, why should I bother to go bust my butt through snow to go see it in a movie theater when I got other things to do? I'll just wait a week. If all they're worried about is the award consideration, screw you. I'll just hold on to that and I'll watch it in a couple weeks. The same thing happened with that Roman J. Israel Esquire movie last year with Denzel Washington. No screening whatsoever. Didn't go see it, and a week later I got a screener. So I'll probably review this later, but for right now, Widows gets a preemptive suck.
It sucks.
That's it for this segment. I need to go to a break. When I come back, I'm going to be talking about Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald, and Boy Erased.
At Budget Blinds, caring is in our DNA. It's the way we do business every day. It starts with exceptional customer service, a process that is centered around you. We listen to you, take the time to find out about your needs, then guide you through a beautiful selection of custom window coverings to find the very best options for you. Our commitment to caring continues throughout our local neighborhoods. We care for our homes and our communities. Budget Blinds supports so many different causes all across North America. We're your local neighborhood experts. We live and work right next to you, and we do it all for you. If that's the kind of personal service you've been waiting for, call and see for yourself. 855-BUDGET-BLINDS. 855-BUDGET-BLINDS. Or find us online at budgetblinds.com. While you're there, find out more about the Budget Blinds commitment to giving back at #BudgetBlindsCares. Each franchise independently owned and operated. Ask for details.
For USA Radio News, I'm Rick Vincent. A shooting in an Alabama mall on the eve of Black Friday leaves one teen dead and two other people wounded. Hoover Police Chief Nicholas Dursa says an argument between two men led one to pull out a gun and shoot the other.
I don't understand. I would hope that people were coming out on a holiday night to enjoy themselves and find bargains, what people were supposed to be doing, and not engage in the type of nonsense that we had.
The shooting took place at the River Chase Galleria near Birmingham, and officers shot the suspect dead as he tried to flee the scene. And in Miami, an unarmed 15-year-old was shot by a police officer Thanksgiving morning. Miami-Dade Police Director Juan Perez says the teen was off his medication and involved in an altercation with his guardian.
Right now, I have a lot more questions than answers for you all because one round was discharged, and I don't know why or the cause of that round being discharged.
The teenager in stable condition at last report. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Indeed knows finding the right hire takes time away from your business.
Hiring a qualified data engineer felt like a second job.
More job seekers use Indeed than any other site, so there's no better place to find someone with the skills you're looking for.
I needed someone with a master's in computer science and database experience.
Plus, Indeed screener questions help you find your shortlist fast.
Now I'm back to having just one job.
See why more than 3 million companies worldwide use Indeed to hire. Post your job at Indeed.com/hire. Indeed, the world's number one job site. Source.com score total visits.
The following update is for drivers who pay too much for car insurance due to DUIs, DWIs, tickets, or anything else. Our company specializes in low-cost SR22 auto insurance. We know that mistakes happen and offer free quotes for very affordable auto insurance meant specifically for you, the overpaying high-risk driver. The quote is free and we'll handle the filing so you can start saving money. Call 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. Let's continue on with the movie reviews. And let's talk about Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald. A young Albus Dumbledore enlists the help of Newt Scamander to stop the criminal Grindelwald before he can lead a faction of pure magic bloods to enslave the Muggles.
I take it you've heard the rumors. Grindelwald had a vision that he would rise to dominance over the wizarding world.
So you're asking me to help hunt him down?
I can't move against Grindelwald. It has to be you. In your shoes, I'd probably refuse to. It's late. Good evening, Newt. Oh, come on.
I was a big fan of the Harry Potter movies. I didn't love them all ubiquitously, and I thought the first one was fine, but they certainly got better as they went on. And without it, there was a little hiccup with number 5, which was The Order of the Phoenix. Overall, I really thought that they steamrolled to the end to a good, solid conclusion. And if you take the movie, you know, like The Half-Blood Prince, which is the 6th movie, and compare it to the first movie, there's just really no comparison. The first movie is fine. But Chris Columbus didn't do a very good job directing that. He did a better job doing the second one. But overall, the Harry Potter movies, I think, are great. They're the closest you can get to a different generation that I can relate to for Star Wars. I mean, Star Wars, for me, as a kid, defined my life when I was a child. Even though when I was a child, there were only 3 movies. And Harry Potter, I totally see why people get wrapped up into that. And once the Harry Potter books and movies wrapped up, I totally understand why everyone who was involved with them says, holy cow, there's still a lot more money to make on these. Let's make that. And so the Fantastic Beasts series started in book form. I never read it. I read a couple of the Harry Potter books, but I wasn't voraciously devouring those. By the time I got around to reading them, they were cranking the movies out. So I was like, why bother reading? But I never read the Fantastic Beasts books. I saw Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, which came out, 2 years ago? And, I mean, it was a fine movie. There was something lacking in it. And then when I watched The Crimes of Grindelwald, I kind of felt the same way. I mean, it has all the elements you'd expect from a movie that takes place in that Harry Potter universe. You've got the wizards, you've got the wands, you've got the magic, you've got the creatures, you've got the action sequences. You got things blowing up and over-the-top things happening. You've got overly dark and creepy, weird characters. You have the inexplicable reason why everybody's keeping themselves secret. I don't know why. I never quite understood that. You're the most powerful creatures in the world, so you're going to keep yourself secret. That's how we work in this world. So in a certain way, the things that Grindelwald and Voldemort eventually are doing, they're basically saying, hey, let's live at large and in the forefront because we're the most powerful creatures on the planet. The heck with these human beings that are causing all these problems. So there's a certain part of me that I understand their philosophy. Not their genocidal philosophy, but at the very least, I never quite understand. I mean, I get it for story purposes why all this has to be kept secret from the real world, but it still doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. Anyways, I liked it in the other movie. They got to go to America. They got to see what the wizarding world was like in other countries, which they have a little bit of that in the Harry Potter books, but it's very British-centric. And this one, they go to Paris, and so you see it, the wizarding world international. It's a beautiful-looking movie, and David Yates, the director, certainly has gotten used to directing in this world. He's directed, like, the last 5 Harry Potter movies or something like that. There's really something lacking. I mean, there's something about grounding it with Harry Potter and the kids going through a year of school, because the Harry Potter movies are Harry's story, and it's Harry's journey through that year. And there's a beginning, middle, and end, and an arc that you follow with Harry Potter. And there's all this stuff in the background going on with Voldemort coming back, and there's that overreaching arcs that are happening in the background that you can follow, but the story's still about Harry and what he's experiencing that year. And that's why those movies work. And that's exactly why this movie doesn't. There is no arc through the movie. Things happen. You get to the thing, and you're like, there's a beginning, there's a middle, there's an end. There's all the elements you'd expect. You know, there's a climax and a battle and all this. You get to the end, and you're like, ah, that felt like a complete movie, but something was missing. And that's because there's no real beginning, middle, and end to a story. It's just, we're just a section of a story. It feels almost serialized at this point. the grounding on Harry Potter, that's missing in this movie, and that's what makes us feel just like a puzzle piece at this point. And that's also why when this movie, when they finally show up at Hogwarts, it's kind of exciting because you're like, oh, Hogwarts, that's kind of where all the cool stuff happened. That's where the character moments happened. And that's just because they got to go see Dumbledore and everything. But you do get that ooh, gosh, and gasp of the audience when they first show Hogwarts. But still, I don't know. There's something missing. There's something not there. Some magic isn't quite in the magic movie. But still, I mean, for entertainment purposes, and if you're a huge fan of the Wizarding World, you're going to love this movie because it has everything you want, cloaks and wizards and spells. So I'll say generously that Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald, kind of rocks.
It kind of rocks.
You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. Let's talk about Boy Erased. The son of a devout pastor undergoes conversion therapy when it is revealed to his family that he is gay.
I love you, but we cannot see a way that you can live under this roof if you're going to fundamentally go against the grain of our beliefs. Jared, tell me the truth. That's all.
I think about men.
Your parents signed you up for a program to fix you, but Jared, you are a perfectly normal, very healthy teenage boy.
They're going to do things for you.
This movie is directed by Joel Edgerton, who plays the guy doing the conversion therapy in the movie. And it's important to point out that Edgerton directed this because even though he's not directed a whole lot of stuff, he certainly has a style. And his style is very muted and drawn back. What you'd expect from a movie like this is the obvious indictment of that conversion therapy system, which is nonsense. It's hogwash. We should be able to agree on that. Psychologists and people have weighed in around, but there are still people who believe in conversion therapy. And you make the jokes you want of saying, well, it's ridiculous. Let's take kids that think they're gay and put them all together in a room and try to convince them that they're not gay, which I think is kind of madness when you think about it. It's like doing a Weight Watchers meeting at a all-you-can-eat buffet. I mean, there's a lot of psychological issues that can be resulting from this, and it's at times very villainous and dangerous. I mean, psychologically dangerous to people. This is illegal in some states and should be illegal everywhere. And what you expect from a movie like this is the grand indictment of conversion therapy. You really don't get that. It's very muted. It shows that it's at times total nonsense. And it shows some of the dangerous practices and some of the unexpected results that you could totally expect happen. You know, there's tragic things that result, but it's all kind of muted down. And you don't get the confrontation. There's like one scene where you kind of get confrontation, but not really. And there's also little things that did bother me about it. Like I'll give you a great example. And I think this is all from because it's a real life story. It's just things that happened to this person in real life. So they didn't want to take too many liberties with it. But there is one moment in there that it reinforces a untrue and negative stereotype about homosexuals in that they're all child molesters and that they're rapists and potential rapists. And there's a scene in there that hints to that, not hints to it being for everybody, but it's a scene that can be interpreted that way. And that bothers me because that's just simply not true. That has been repeated enough in certain people in the media to make people think it's true, but it's not. There's no greater instance of this. And you talk to homosexuals and they feel really strongly about this because they're demonized in a lot of ways when they shouldn't be. And this is one of the ways they are. And there's a side plot of this that kind of hints at that. And I, if it really happened, that's fine. But it's an isolated event. It's not meant to be ubiquitous of everything. And I think that's part of the thing is this is this one guy's experience as opposed to really giving a holistic look at the problem of conversion therapy and some of the other things that go along in this movie. And so I think it's an important film to see, but I didn't think it was as good as it could have been. So I'm going to have to say Boy Erased did still kind of rock.
It kind of rocks.
That's it for this segment. I need to go to a break. When I come back, I'm going to have a look back at the TV show The Office, review Outlaw King, do the box office and the home cinema roundup featuring the Pixar Short Film Collection, Volume 3.
If you're a baby boomer with 100,000 or more of investable assets, this may be the most important 60 seconds for your retirement. We're Sound Income Strategies, and we transform typical portfolios that depend on speculative growth into portfolios that generate sustained retirement income for life. And right now, we're offering the latest book from our founder, David J. Scranton, Return on Principal. As an added bonus, our retirement income kit, full of valuable information, absolutely free. So if you're a baby boomer with 100,000 or more of investable assets, call 866-913-1234 right now for your free book and retirement income kit. Investment advisory services offered through Sound Income Strategies, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisory firm. In retirement, it's all about generating enough income. Call 866-913-1234. 866-913-1234. Sound Income Strategies. The secret to a great retirement is our middle name.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterdon Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home Sweet Home.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. Let's continue on with the reviews. I'm going to actually review something that I don't normally do. I don't do a whole lot of TV, mainly because I don't have time to watch all the TV that is out there. I mean, that's like a full-time job. Not only in TV do you got to watch broadcast now, but you got to watch basic cable, you got to watch premium cable, and now you got to watch Netflix and Amazon and Hulu and HBO Direct Series and, you know, like CBS All Access so you can get Star Trek. There's so many things that you got to watch. It's like five times as much TV as you used to have to watch 10, 15, 20 years ago. So, yeah, I don't do a whole lot of TV, but I'm going to cover this one piece here. I revisited the show The Office recently. My son and I watch TV shows together, and I said, oh, this will be fun, and it's 9 seasons. It'll take us, you know, a couple months to watch it. And so I actually have some interesting thoughts about it. And now that it's been 5 years since the show ended, the shenanigans of a paper company in Scranton, Pennsylvania is examined in this mockumentary.
What up?
I still love it after 7 years.
Oh,
this is so important. I should run to answer it.
Shut up. Shut up.
So that's the way it's done.
Do it! Surprise! It's a joke! You're joking around! Put my stuff in Jell-O again! Off the bat!
Just a couple things to note. In looking at it 5 years later, the show really stumbled after Michael Scott left, after Steve Carell left to do regular movies. It really did stumble because it didn't know what to do. He was the grounding force of that show. But then the whole seventh season, it was trying to find its footing. The show didn't quite know what to do. Once it got to the eighth season, it kind of figured out what it was doing. And actually, by the ninth season, by the final season, it kind of figured out how to make a show as an ensemble comedy rather than an ensemble comedy wrapped around one person. It really did kind of hit a stride right before it ended. Now, of course, the ratings had dropped and everything, and because losing Steve Carell made an impact. But that's, I think, an interesting thing that happened. I think they botched it, bringing in Robert California, played by James Spader. I didn't think he turned out as well as he could have. But they did bring in Catherine Tate and finally bring her into there, and I thought she was brilliant in it. Now, the other thing I noticed is I realized a couple things about the characters. First of all, Jim and Pam are meant to be the heroes of the show. Jim's kind of like the hero. He's really not the hero. I mean, they portray him as the hero, but he's not. He's a heel. He's manipulative, and he's kind of a jerk to a lot of people. He's a jerk to all the other women that he dates just so he can pine for Pam, which makes a nice little romance in the show, but it's garbage behavior for a human being to have. And with that said, Pam's kind of garbage herself as well. You can learn a lot about a person by who they date. And I said this to my son as we're watching, and I said, don't wait for somebody like that. I know it makes a good TV show, but if there's a woman who's, oh, she's so wonderful for you, but she's dating a jerk, she's going to date jerks. You will find a common history in that person. And waiting for them is you're just going to waste your time. And then when they finally get married, she kind of turns into a, you know, kind of a pain in the butt. Yeah, some of the things she's justified in, but even then, Jim, it's Jim being an idiot. He makes decisions whether he, like, starts a company in another state. He buys a house without consulting her. That's not good behavior. Somebody respects their wife. So that's something I found interesting, and just kind of how it plays out and how the tone of the show is a little different when you look back at it as opposed to being in the thick of it. But still, I have to say, I do love The Office. It's a lot of fun. Doesn't hit its stride until about the third season, but it still rocks.
It rocks.
Excellent.
You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. Let's talk really quickly about The Outlaw King, which is on Netflix. It dropped on Netflix last week. I figured I'd take a look at it because it's kind of got a little buzz when it first had dropped a trailer, and it's gotten a little bit of buzz afterwards because it's got Chris Pine in it. That's a kind of a big name to be putting as you've got headlining actors on Netflix now. An outlaw king, nobleman Robert the Bruce, defies the British crown when he tries to secure control of Scotland.
We need to unite Scotland.
Robert the Bruce is an outlaw. Any man or woman who would give shelter to him or his ranks is to be executed without trial.
The people are desperate for justice.
I serve Robert Bruce! Join us to free our land!
This is an interesting companion piece to watch with Braveheart because it sort of begins where Braveheart ends. Where Braveheart ends with the death of William Wallace after he had led the Scottish Rebellion and sort of paved the way for Robert the Bruce to reclaim his right to the throne of Scotland. This movie tells Robert the Bruce's story, and obviously it's played by different actors, and they're 20 years apart in terms of when they were made. And also, Braveheart's a far superior movie. Let me just put that out there. But there's some interesting stuff in Outlaw King. You've got Chris Pine playing the Scottish King, and he does okay. I still don't quite buy him in the role. He still is too pretty. And it does tend to, when a lot of these movies, these historical films, when they're dealing with the power struggles, unless you really know the players involved, like I watched it with my father. And my father's a huge fan of, like, European history. And so he knows who Robert the Bruce was, and he knew who all these different characters were, and he knew how they all fit together in the grand scheme of things. But it's at times a little hard to follow if you don't know all that stuff, because it's just a bunch of dirty people fighting each other. And they also have Robert the Bruce's wife, who's essentially a wife slave, who's brought in, and they overplay her character a bit. You get this a lot in historic movies. The sad fact is that in a movie, you know, in Scotland at this time, the women were not in charge. It's just, that's a fact of history. Is it the right thing that should have happened? No, but that's the way history works. And so they try to make her a little more influential when she probably really wasn't, but they needed to have the strong female character. But overall, the movie, it's fine to sort of to watch. It runs a little bit long and it gets a little bit muddled in the middle, and it does overplay the brutality. I mean, it's real brutal in you know, battles back then. But, you know, even just in the back home and how they used the townspeople as fodder for their grievances against noblemen. Overall, I'm going to have to say it kind of sucks. It doesn't make itself very easy to follow.
It kind of sucks.
Wait a second. I don't like the sound of that.
You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. Really quickly about the box office. Last weekend, The Grinch did extremely well, actually overperformed. And that bodes well for this. It's gonna ride well into Christmas. There's going to be a lot of family movies that's going to compete with it, so got to jump in it. It made almost $70 million last week. And then, of course, Bohemian Rhapsody came in second. But then Overlord only made about 10, and then, you know, The Girl in the Spider's Web really kind of flopped with less than 8 million in its opening weekend. So this weekend, of course, Crimes of Grindelwald is going to win. We all know that. You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr. That sound means it's time to roll into the home cinema roundup. Spotlight this week is on the Pixar Short Film Collection, Volume 3. The third volume of short films comes from Pixar, featuring new, diverse stories with groundbreaking animation.
This is going to be the best night of our lives!
My favorite thing is that we got to tell a very different story, a very personal story, and a story that's based in a very personal culture. I'm really proud of that.
They wanted to tell a story that was inspired by growing up as a little bun.
Something I was really passionate about, that we need to see these characters that we love get what they want.
Look, if you've seen all the Pixar movies in the theaters, you've seen all these short films. These are what they always run in front of their other movies. And they've got everything from Partysaurus Rex to Bao. And it's a great selection of short films. They're beautiful short films. And unless you've bought all the Pixar films, you don't have these. So it's a nice way to get them in one collection. And it's interesting to also go back to like Tin Toy, if you've collected these, to go back to the first Pixar short film, like Tin Toy, and watch it in comparison to these and how the animation has changed. I mean, if you go back and look at the animation in Piper, it's just gorgeous, or Lava is beautiful. So these are some amazing things that are done. And it, you see familiar faces with the Toy Story characters, and you see the characters from Inside Out, and you see the cars coming back. And there's little mini movies. So you basically have, you know, little extra short films. And you also have a couple Blu-ray features, like commentaries from the filmmakers and a look back at how they made Bao. And just a couple more behind-the-scenes things. But the real reason to get this is for the short films that just keep getting better and better and better and are fascinating to compare to the earlier Pixar films, where the photorealism in these are just amazing. And it's worth seeing. Totally rocks.
It rocks.
Excellent!
Other movies that are coming out on DVD and Blu-ray include The Meg, Mile 22, Star Trek Discovery Season 1, Alpha, and Juliet Naked. And that is it for this week. When I come back next week, we'll be fat with turkey and happy Thanksgiving. Until then, have a fat time at the movies.
Does your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy? Come to Dynavite for help.
Order a 90-day supply of Dynavite.
Dynavite is nutrition.
Pick up two bottles of LicoChops, get the third bottle free.
New improved LicoChops with omega-3, omega-6, vitamin E.
And now, 6 extra direct-fed microbials.
Even better for the digestive tract and immune system.
Try LicoChops. Buy two, get one free.
At Dynavite.com.
DINOVITE.com.
I started going cold turkey. Well, at least when I'm in the car.
I know I shouldn't do it, but it's so hard to stop. That's why I hide it.
Do it all the time. I stopped by locking it in my glove compartment.
My friend used to do it way too much. Now I turn it off when we're in the car.
My solution is simple. I just don't do it.
There are lots of ways to stop yourself and others from texting and driving. How will you stop? Tell us at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News.
Consumers have already spent at least $1.7 billion shopping online since Wednesday, and that number is only expected to climb as deal hunters continue to hit the stores. I had a chance to catch up with Brian, who was up and at him early, shopping for the best deals.
Me and my wife, we found a couple of deals on the TVs. We saved about $250 on a couple of TVs we bought for the family.
President Trump threatens to close the U.S. border with Mexico if the situation starts spiraling out of control. USA Radio Network's Robin Walensky reports.
President Trump threatening to close the U.S. border with Mexico if the caravan situation becomes uncontrollable. Trump telling reporters he will close down the border if people start getting hurt or if it appears law enforcement is going to lose control.
The president also tweeted, Republicans and Democrats must now come together with a major border security package. This is USA Radio News.
This is a national health alert from the healthcare hotline. Are you on Medicare and/or have private insurance and suffer from back pain? MD Topical has a solution for you. Today, you can qualify to receive a pain-relieving treatment, such as a comfortable back brace or a customized pain treatment at little or no cost. Call MD Topical toll-free now, 888-998-7225. It just takes a couple of minutes to qualify for these amazing treatments that have helped thousands of people with severe pain. Your personalized pain treatment will be delivered directly to your door. Call MD Topical toll-free, 888-998-7225, 888-998-7225, or go to mdtopical.com and get started on your road to a pain-free life. Call MD Topical toll-free, 888-998-7225, or go to mdtopical.com.
Firefighters in Northern California are getting more rain. The National Weather Service is predicting 1 to 3 inches of rain between now and Sunday in the area devastated by the Camp Fire. The fire is 95% contained, but now the concern is mudslides in the area. The latest word from medical researchers is that coffee is good for you. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes has the details.
This research into the research on coffee finds that drinking up to 4 cups of it a day may help you avoid an early death. These researchers in the UK didn't do new research, but they looked at more than 200 existing studies and found that coffee was more often than not linked to health benefits. And those include the reduced risk of heart disease, reduced risk of many cancers, and a reduced risk of dementia. The findings have been published in the British Medical Journal. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Democrats plan to use their control of the House of Representatives to argue for raising the corporate tax rates by a few percentage points. House Democrats also say they plan on using their new majority to hold hearings about the Republican tax overhaul, arguing it's a giveaway to corporations and the wealthy. Maddie Dupler is a senior fellow with the National Taxpayers Union. She joined Fox News and says there's one problem with the Democrats trying to raise taxes on the rich.
House Republicans made it more difficult to raise all taxes, and the question now for Democrats is whether or not they repeal that rule or they replace it with a rule that allows them to raise taxes on wealthy earners. And I think that this really indicates one thing. When Democrats say they want to raise taxes on the rich, they don't mean it. They mean they want to raise taxes on everyone, because right now Nancy Pelosi is saying she has the politically salient idea to change that rule so just taxes could be raised on upper income earners. And the progressive wing of her party is saying that simply isn't enough. They want full-scale repeal of that rule so they can raise taxes on everyone.
Doepler also tries to make some sense of what this means between the more progressive Democrats and the moderate Democrats who ran in, say, a Texas or a Southern California.
What this indicates, though, moving forward, is that progressive Democrats in that party now really want to hold her feet to the fire and force her to make good on that promise. That's going to create problems for Democrats who typically talk a big game on taxes but are refusing to follow them up with real votes.
The talk is that the Democrats would like to raise the corporate tax rate from 25 to 28%. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.